Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. For whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today's Gospel reading that I just read from the book of Matthew picks up right where we left off last Sunday. And so for us to fully understand what in the world is going on, we need to remember that Jesus is continuing to speak about rejection. And it's helpful for us to get in the mindset of that feeling of rejection to understand the power of today's message. So take a quick moment, before we move on, to think about a time when you've been rejected. You got something in mind? Anybody want to share? Tinder, yes. Tinder, Grindr, OkCupid, Match.com, pretty much any romantic relationship after the first date, or we could even think about sometimes after decades of marriage, then being rejected as well. What else can we think about? Forms of rejection. Art submissions. So we can think of careers, or we could even think of hobbies that we might have, right? And in our careers, we might not ultimately get that job promotion, or after going through so many rounds of interviews, you don't even get the job offer. Rejection. One more example, maybe? So other things that I can think about is, has anybody ever applied to higher education and gotten a rejection letter? Yeah, rejection letters from higher education. How about rejecting the bid, the offer that you have on a home? No, they want more money. No, somebody else got it. Or how about being rejected just because of your own identity? I have to say, on this Sunday, when some of us will march in the Pride Parade, and this particular congregation celebrates reconciling in Christ status, I cannot help but think about the much rejection that lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender and queer and intersex and asexual individuals have had over the years. Families, friends, governments, and churches have rejected, discriminated, and criminalized these sexual minorities. As of today, still 74 countries out of 196 across the globe, in 74 countries, it is still a criminal offense to have same-sex sexual contact. And in 13 of those countries, by simply identifying as gay or bisexual, you'll be put to death. And not that long ago, this was also the case in the United States. You see, back in the 1960s, it was a felony in all 50 of the United States to be gay. And so LGBTQ individuals were often imprisoned. They talk about experiences of being hunted, beaten, shot, strangled, and hung up even on trees because they identified as LGBTQ individuals. And it's still the case today that many legal protections in the United States do not exist for these sexual minorities. Well, in the midst of all of that rejection that we can think about, Jesus speaks a particular word to us today. And at first glance, Jesus' words do not appear comforting. In fact, he said, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And if we take it at face value, we get fake news quite literally. You see, for the intent of fake news is to mislead with the intention of gaining power and causing chaos. But the thing is that we realize that Jesus is not about fake news, because Jesus' life has never been about the misuse of power or the creation of chaos for chaos' sake. In fact, it is the quite opposite. Jesus blessed the poor and the marginalized. He worked to bring truth and peace and justice. However, these efforts were quite divisive, like a sword. You see, God's message of peace divides. There is money to be made off of violence, and therefore people will disagree about peace. And Jesus' message of love divides, for love is patient and kind. Love is not self-serving, and love does not boast. Yet our capitalistic society rewards aggressive and self-centered grandstanders. And Jesus' message of justice also divides, for people who want privileges that will ultimately control others will sneer at the mention of equity. You see, when it comes down to it, Jesus' teachings were extremely divisive, and Jesus did not engage for the sake of causing division, but division was a byproduct of enacting God's vision for the world. And so if we take seriously Jesus' command to become his disciple by learning and enacting his teachings, then we will have to stumble across disagreement. Because when we work to love all people, others will disagree and will want to walk away. When we strive for justice and peace, some will respond with violence and complaints. And our gracious response as people of faith might even be labeled as soft and ineffective. And while it is not our intention to divide, there will be, as one theologian puts it, there will be exceptional circumstances where integrity is more important than even our most cherished familial relationships. following Jesus will, at times, require being more committed to truth-telling than to keeping friendships. End quote. But what does that look like in everyday life? We get a hint of that in verse 38. Can somebody read verse 38 from Matthew nice and loud for us? It's printed in your green. Celebrate. It is. We are called to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And that does not literally mean that you need to find a big giant cross and start walking around Wicker Park with it. Instead, it requires us to realize that those who were being crucified were the outsiders. You would not see a male Roman citizen being brutally crucified. You would not see that in Jesus' time. Instead, you would see slaves, enemies of the state, terrorists, foreigners, and other marginalized individuals. Those were the ones that you'd see hanging on the cross. So if we think about what it means to take up the cross, that means that we must step into the margins with those who are rejected and scorned. You see, when the protesters gathered to shout, "No more hunting gays," at the Stonewall Uprising, those people took up the cross. When this congregation risked losing members in 2006 by declaring that all sexual orientations and gender identities are welcomed, those members took up the cross. And so too, when we accompany the suffering poor, we take up the cross. When we work for ecological justice by changing our behaviors and the ways that we interact, we take up the cross. When we use our privilege to contact our government leaders about immigration and racial justice and prison reform and violence and health care, we take up the cross. You see, we take up the cross every time that we align our words and our actions with a deep commitment to God's expressed truth, justice, peace, love, and grace, even when it might divide us. And that is hard work. But there's more than just an assignment of work here in today's reading. We're not just left with the responsibility of dragging this huge cross without a gracious response. You see, like Audrey and her baptism today, in our baptisms, we were promised that there is absolutely nothing to fear. And in today's gospel, Jesus reminds us that God has an intimate concern for our lives, down to the hairs on our chinny chin chins. And that is both comfort and claim. You see, this claim of intimacy, so close that he can count the hairs on our chins, this claim of intimacy reminds us that although our work might be divisive, it is also eclipsed by the ultimate focus of our faith. You see, our focus is to take up the cross so that we might partner with God to transform and liberate a broken world. And everything else in our lives is beyond our scope of worry. And this shift to a cross-centered life is so difficult for some of us. In fact, it makes me uneasy at times. And so when I get anxious by this huge cross that seems like the burden that I need to bear, I like to stop and walk outside and look up into the tree. And in that tree, I'm looking specifically for one thing. I'm looking for a bird. And now, if you ask me to spot a sparrow, I couldn't even do it if I tried. But I can recognize a good old pigeon here in Chicago. And I like to think that pigeons are probably our equivalent to the sparrow that Jesus mentioned today. You see, the sparrow was the cheapest of birds. They were so cheap that you could buy one for a penny and get one free. I mean, this was a buy one, get one free special at its finest. And so Jesus reminded us that God cares for that BOGO or buy one, get one free bird. And that on top of that, God cares even more about you and me. You see, we're not BOGOs, but rather we are all children of God. We are each products of God's existence. We are made of divine material, and with these God-given bodies, we are liberated from the rat race of life. We are liberated and released so that we might go and take up the cross. And what a true gift that is. And although rejection might follow, we are focused on God's call to carry the cross, to work for justice, to strive for peace, to love without ending. And the rest of it? The rest of it is strictly for the birds. So have no fear. Amen.